Zechariah. Ed, if you could turn the mic on down just a little bit.
Sure.
Thanks. It's awesome, but I don't know. I like the feeling of the natural voice. Okay, great. So we're doing three sermons, and I thought maybe a fourth. We're going to stop at three. So three sermons from the book of Zechariah. Okay, is it up on the screen? I can't remember. What's the theme of Zechariah? Ah, the Messiah is coming. Get your house in order. Today's sermon focuses in on that a little bit more than the first two, because the title of our sermon today is On That Day. And you're thinking, what day? Well, I'm not going to tell you right now. All right? But today is the day of the Lord, right? And then the kind of the overarching message is God is asking us, wherever we're at, to repent and to return, and then God will restore and God will rebuild. And then we saw our little outline of Zechariah. We had the prologue and then the eight visions. Remember those eight visions, the apocalyptic stuff, where you have to kind of, what's the picture about? We'll look at some of those. Then the coronation scene. We'll talk about that. And then the two sermons. Today, you're going to get bonus material. You're going to get two sermons all at once. All right? Because chapter 7 is a sermon, and then chapter 8 is a sermon. And by the way, after chapter 7 and chapter 8, I'm going to do chapter 12, 13, and 14 as well. So you're going to get lots of bonus material. All right, great. And then the two oracles. And those oracles are these kingdom and messianic prophecies. So, thank you. Oh, somebody's forwarding for me. Good job. They're forwarding for me. All right, so remember that first vision? The vision of the messenger on a red horse. And the message was, Jerusalem has not yet been restored, and God is going to do something about that. Then we had this second vision. I'm not going to do all of them. Then there was vision number three. That was from last week. The vision of the man with the measuring line, and he's measuring the city. And the point of that is that the kingdom of God is a city that does not need a wall. Because God is the protecting line around our city. God is our protection. Then vision number four. That was a great one. The vision of Joshua. And he was wearing filthy clothes. And God and Satan was accusing him. And God says, "Rebuke you, Satan." And then God put clean clothes on him. And that's what God did, because when we repented and we returned, God restored us. But then there was vision five. Not only did God restore us. Oops, I skipped that one. Oh, that's okay. Or did I not skip it? There you go. What Dwayne and I are doing, you know when you're walking down the sidewalk and one person goes like this and the other person goes like that? That's what Dwayne and I are doing, all right? So we're in the right place. That's good. Anyway, so the vision, I remember vision number four of Joshua with the filthy clothes. Satan is rebuking him. That's what Satan is trying to do to you. He's trying to charge you with being unworthy. You'll never do it. You'll never make it. And then, but God says, rebuke you, Satan. He puts on those white clothes. He restores you, but then he rebuilds you. And that's the next vision, vision number five, the vision of the golden lampstand and the two olive trees that represent that limitless supply of the Holy Spirit. And then we skip visions. We're going to skip those for now. And we're going to go to the coronation scene. All right, great. And there we see the crowning of King Jesus. Remember, a high priest is sitting on a throne. And normally priests don't sit on thrones because priests are not kings. But Jesus is the perfect high priest because he knows the language of God. He knows the language of man. He is king and he is priest and he's sitting on a throne. And then Zechariah 9, we had another kingdom prophecy. No more chariots, no more war horses. The battle bow will be broken because Jesus, the one who's riding in on a donkey, the colt, the foal of a donkey, is going to bring victory to God's people without firing a shot. A king of peace. And we learn that God rescued us from a waterless pit. And instead of living in a waterless pit, God will help us to sparkle. Which brings us now to our sermon for today, which is Zechariah 7 and 8. So those are those two sermons. So let's read Zechariah 7, verses 1 through 3. So hopefully you're kind of remembering what Zechariah is about. Hopefully, 6 months from now, I could ask you, what's Zechariah about? And what you'll say? You'll say, repent, return, restore, rebuild, the eight visions, the two sermons, the messianic prophecies, the kingdom prophecies, what God is doing, this endless supply of oil. Hopefully you'll remember those things. That'd be great. So Zechariah 7, verses 1 through 3. I got to church, Jan and I got to church really early today. And I forgot my Bible and my notes. I had to drive home. But we're here. We're here on time still. Amen? Rosa was ready to leave the house today at 11 o'clock. And the rest of her family are looking at her like, what are you ready for church for? Hey, I want to be ready. Amen? And these guys, we need to lengthen the pews out here so the family can fit. That's good. In the fourth year of King Darius, by the way, the year is 518 B.C. Remember that background? This is the time that the Jews came back from captivity. They laid the foundation for the temple, and they stopped building. Right? Remember back a couple months ago, we talked about Haggai. Just repent. Go up and build the temple. And again, that's the background of Zechariah. The idea is God wanted us to build that temple. Anyway, the Lord gave to Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, the month of Kislev. The people of Bethel had sent Sherezer and Regemmelech to together with their men, to entreat the Lord by asking the priests of the house of the Lord Almighty and the prophets, should I mourn and fast on the fifth month as I've done for so many years? So here's the question. Should I mourn and fast? So what's going on here? Do you sense a little bit of attitude behind this question? All right, it's like, do I have to mourn and fast? I've been doing it for 70 years and I'm tired of mourning and fasting. I'm having an attitude. Do I have to serve the poor? Do I have to share my faith? I've been doing it for 42 years. Do I have to go to Bible talk? And, you know, we got midweek every other week, and then Bible talk on Wednesday and church on Sunday. Do I have to do all those things? I'm a Christian. Do I have to wear a modest dress, you know, at the beach? I mean, come on, you know, whatever the thing is. And God, by the way, God's going to answer the question, but it's the wrong question. You got that, folks? That's the wrong question. Do I have to do that? You know, husband says to his wife, do I have to love you? You know, imagine that. You know, parent says to the child, do I have to love you? Is that the right question? So now I have to give you the background. It turns out there were four different fasts. There's the fifth, the fourth, fifth, seventh, and tenth. And I don't know what the fourth month fast was about. I did some research. I only found out about the other three. So they're asking because it turns out on the fifth month, they had a fast. And what they would do, this is the year 518 B.C., but in 586 B.C., 68 years before, the temple had been destroyed. And what had God said in Jeremiah about that? How long? 70 years. All right? And so they've been fasting for 70 years. It's kind of a long time. Also, they had another fast in the seventh month to remember the assassination of Gedaliah. Now, that doesn't mean much to you, but it turns out the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem. They took, what's his name, the king off
And then they left behind this guy Gedaliah as the governor. And what the people did is they rebelled again and they assassinate him. And then they were sent into exile again. Whatever, it does, not important. And then on the 10th month, they had another fast to lament the capture of Jerusalem. By the way, we're talking about Jeremiads before church because Jeremy was there. And a Jeremiad, which is named after Jeremiah, not this Jeremy, which is a lament, a complaint, a woe, if you will. And so they've been doing these sad laments for 70 years. So on the one hand, it's a pretty good question. Because at this time, they were starting to rebuild the temple, right? The temple's being rebuilt, so do we need to keep fasting? Very logical question. But the problem is the heart behind the question. Because they were like, oh, I'm so tired of worshiping God that way. All right? So, God's not too happy with that. And by the way, God is going to answer the question. All right? It's kind of like, remember the woman at the well? She asked him, where should we worship, at this mountain or that mountain? And that wrong question. Wrong question. And Jesus doesn't answer the question, but later on he actually does answer the question. It's kind of like that. Same thing. He is going to answer the question. It's going to be in Zechariah 8, verse 19. Do you have enough self-control to not look at the answer? And you probably should not look at the answer because God doesn't answer their question, all right? And he doesn't answer their question because it's the wrong question. Do I have to read the Bible? Do I have to fill in the blank? How many have ever felt that way as a Christian? All right, thank you. All right, good. So there you go. Then the word of the Lord Almighty came to me. Ask all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month for the past 7 years, was it really for me that you fasted? That's the question. The question is not, should I mourn and fast? The question is, why are you doing it? Because if you're doing it for the wrong reason, it ain't going to work too well. When you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month of the last 70 years, was it really for me that you fasted? And when you were eating and drinking, were you not just feasting for yourselves? Are these not the words the Lord proclaimed through the earlier prophets when Jerusalem and its surrounding towns were at rest and prosperous and the Negev and the western foothills? I mean, it was going great. I was blessing you and you stopped worshiping me. The current situation you are in is because of your sin. So God is going to, as asking you this morning, you know, I don't want us to get paranoid, always worrying every single moment, why am I doing what I'm doing? That's ultimately not helpful. You know what I'm saying? But in the big picture, why are you here this morning? Why are you here this morning? I hope you're here because you want to worship God and encourage one another. Was it really for me you fasted? When you were feasting, you were really feasting not to celebrate a relationship with me. You were feasting because you're just having a party and a good old time. So God says, look, I want your heart, not your religion. This is a very common teaching in the minor prophets. We've seen this again and again, and we're going to keep seeing it. God says, give me your heart, not your religion. It's kind of like when Samuel came to Jesse. Remember that situation. God does not look at the outward appearance. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And then verse 8 and 8 through 10. And the word of the Lord came again to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against one another. Now, how many times have we heard this in the minor prophets? And like, it just keeps coming up again and again and again. So they're asking, what does God want from us? Well, here's what God wants from you. To administer justice, to treat people right, to show mercy and compassion, to not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the foreigner, the needy,
those people that we've been talking about for so long, all the way back in the book of Luke. God's solution to legalistic religion is this: act like me. God says, just start acting the way I act. And what's the best way to learn to act like God acts? Is to start acting like Jesus acted. That goes, remember, way back in Luke 4. You know, the Spirit of the Lord has called me to teach and to heal and all those kinds of things. So that's the solution to the issue. Anyway, to me, this is a great memory verse. Every week, I like to point out a possible memory verse. Have you memorized any of those memory verses? Or are you sort of like, well, you know, I've heard it enough times. All right, but something to think about. Listen to this. Administer true justice. Show mercy and compassion to one another. Don't oppress the widow, the fatherless, the foreigner, the alien, the poor, the people with less than you have. Do not plot evil against each other. All right, let's go to the end of the chapter here. But they refused to pay attention. Now, what he's talking to, this is in 518 BC. He's saying, but those Jews back then, before they were taken to captivity, when I told them this through Jeremiah, they didn't listen. All right? And so the question for us is, are we going to listen? He says, but they refused to pay attention. Stubbornly, they turned their backs. They covered their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words the Lord Almighty had sent by His Spirit through the earlier prophets. So the Lord Almighty was very angry, because God is a jealous God. When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen. There's your second memory passage for the week. Jot this one down. Listen to this. God says about the Jews of old, but it applies today. He says, when I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen. Got that, folks? God is calling you to do something. God is calling you to respond in faith, to pray, to... What I don't know what God's calling you to do right now. It's the Holy Spirit's living in you. He's talking to you. He's not talking to me. Well, he's talking to me, but talking to you. I don't know what he's telling you to do, but I know this much. It says, when God calls, we need to listen. Otherwise, when we call, he will not listen. That's what the Lord Almighty says. I scatter them with the whirlwind among all the nations where they were strangers. The land they left behind them was so desolate that no one traveled through it. Now, remember the context. They're asking, should we mourn and fast because of what God did to us? Because we were not faithful, because we didn't listen. That's the context. That's the context of what's going on here. All right, so it's all kind of fitting together. And what's the answer? Should I mourn and should I fast? I don't know. Let's guess. Just sitting there. Nobody looked at the end, right? Nobody went to Zechariah 8:19. Good. So what's your guess? All right, you think we should continue to mourn and fast? That's a good guess. We'll find out. Should we mourn and should we fast? But why is God not answering the question? Because it's the wrong question. You know, is it okay if I drink one beer? Is it okay if I go to this place? Is it okay if I watch this thing? Wrong question. The question is, do you love God? And are you going to serve Him? And that other question, that's the easiest question in the world. It's not hard at all. So are you struggling with a lack of motivation in your walk with God? Solution, go out and help a needy person. Practice social justice. Go visit Aileen. She's in the hospital. She's our newest member. She's only met two of us, especially if you're in the Mackey Bible Talk, because, you know, they're kind of taking care of Aileen. Volunteer to help at the campus retreat. Make dinner. Bring it to your neighbor. So God hasn't answered the question. Why not? Because it was an insincere question. It was a smokescreen. And they were looking for an excuse to get away with things. So what do you think? Well, we'll find out. Anyway, Zechariah 7:11-14, God's answer for now is, well, look what they did and where to get them. My friend Mark Wilkinson, I quote him more than any other person after somebody in the Bible. And he would say, he and his wife led the singles with Jan and I were shepherds. And he would say all the time, where is that getting you? That life you've been living, where is that getting you? Okay? And we know. Maybe you're doing great lately. Amen. Well, then just remember before, because that's what he's saying right here, verse 11 through 14. Where did that get them? That's why you're mourning and fasting, because you messed up really bad. And God gets angry about that stuff. In fact, he'll send you to hell over that stuff. And he sent you into captivity so that he could actually save you. So that's a good question to ask. Living that way. Where did that get you? What was the result of that? When I called, they would not listen. So when they called, I would not listen. All right, that's the first sermon. Now the second sermon. Zechariah 8. Very good. Man, you're amazing there, Dwayne, right on top of it. Zechariah 8, 1 through 9. Let's read that. The word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Zion. I'm burning with jealousy for her. This is what the Lord says. I will return to Zion. I will dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the faithful city. And the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each of them with a cane in his hand. Because of their age, the city streets shall be filled with boys and girls playing there. This is what the Lord Almighty says. It may seem marvelous to the remnant of this people at this time in 518 BC, where the temple hasn't even been rebuilt. Never mind the city. And, you know, we have a church. It's great, but there's only 45 people here, you know, whatever. Nothing super incredibly overwhelmingly amazing happening yet. This is what the Lord Almighty says, verse 7. I will save my people from the countries of the east and of the west. I'll bring them back to live in Jerusalem, and they will be my people, and I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Now hear these words. Let your hands be strong so the temple may be built. This is also what the prophets said who were present when the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord Almighty. Again, that context, right? Remember, 518 BC. Remember the book of Haggai. Repent, return, restore, rebuild. And God's saying, you know, I can't wait to bless these people. I can't wait to call this again Jerusalem, the faithful city. I can't wait. This, another translation is Jerusalem, the city of truth. God sees us as we are going to become, as he's going to make us. He sees us as the faithful city. He sees us as the Lord's temple. He says, I'm going to return to Zion. I'm going to return to the mountain of the Lord. This is one of those great kingdom prophecies. I'm going to return to the city of truth. This prophecy was partially fulfilled, because 2 years after this was written, they dedicated the temple. And it was great. So what could be happening here 2 years from now? Get a picture. Get a picture. What could it look like? What could God do? Yeah, Jan and I, we're kind of dreaming. You know, we're dreaming. And we kind of dragged, these got the lions into our little dream, but I won't even tell you. Well, all right, we got this little dream, but we're dreaming. Get a picture. Again, chapter 7. If you do what God's saying in chapter 7, you got chapter 8 coming on. That's what's coming on, folks. That's what God wants to see. God is jealous for his people. He is burning with jealousy to bless us and to use us to do great things.
He says, once again, men and women will ripe old age. And the Jews, to the Jews, the idea of God blessing them is to just have peace. And so people live to old age, and there's, you know, they're just sitting at their doorstep, watching their children play. You know, that's the idea. A physical vision of a spiritual awesomeness that God wants to do. So what does God say? Well, in verse 9 he says, well, let's just build a temple then, right? I mean, at the bottom line, that's what Zechariah is about. They're having all this theological, oh, well, should I fast, blah, blah, blah. God says, let's just build a temple, all right? Let's just start a brand new Bible talk up in Tehachapi. How about that? All right, let's get, you know, those young professionals and start a new Bible talk and convert some young singles. How about that? That's a good thing. When God calls, let's listen. And let's do those things. Let's blow out our special contribution so that we can afford a few things. So that we can, you know, afford our interns. That's coming up, folks. 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today. And we're going to find out at that point whether we are strong to build the temple, right? Verse 9. Now hear these words. Let your hands be strong so the temple may be built. God wants to build here. I want to see God build here. Let's skip down to verse 18. I got to find out whether we're supposed to keep mourning and fasting. I got to find out. All right? And I got my awesome Dwayne way ahead of me. That's great. Let's see if we're supposed to keep mourning and fasting. Okay. So what was your guess? We should have done, you know, those things where you kind of do a little quick vote and the little bars. We should have, what's that thing with the... Yeah, but that game, you know. Yeah, we should have done a Kahoot. All right. Do they have to keep mourning and fasting? Well, what did he just say in the first part of chapter 8? See, you hadn't read that yet, right? Based on what you just read in the first 9 chapters of chapter 8. Here we go. Let's see. All right. This is where the Lord Almighty, came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The fast of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months will become joyful and glad occasions. So they're, yeah! We don't have to mourn and fast anymore. It's kind of like, you know, John the Baptist, his followers, they were mourning and fasting. You know what I'm saying? But Jesus' followers, they're hanging out with Jesus. Were they mourning and fasting? No, they were complaining. They were partying. Right? That Jesus' disciples, they were partying all the time. And these legalistic people are complaining about that. They're supposed to be mourning and fasting. No, no, no. God's just wanting us to celebrate. This is what the Lord Almighty says. All right? They're going to become happy festivals for Judah. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will yet come. Got that? Got that? This is a prophecy about the Bakersfield Church of Christ. Many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will come. And will go to another... I'm sorry. And the inhabitants of the city will go to one another and say, let us go at once to entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going. I'm going to church. You need to come to church with me. You know, I appreciate Louis, and Louis shares his faith. I don't know. My favorite faith sharers in the church probably are Louis and Mike. And there's some other ones. It's great. I mean, Louis, when he shares his faith, he's like, dude, you know, right? Dude, you got to come. I'm kind of like, I'm sort of mousy about it. You know, I hope you'll maybe possibly like it. Would you please take my card? That's kind of what I'm like, you know. I like that. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 visitors. By the way, at our campus Bible talk, like a year and a half ago, we'd have like 4 members and like 30 visitors. I mean, it was pretty close to this ratio. It's pretty close. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Christian by the hem of their robe. Do you wear a robe? All right, whatever.
by your whatever it is and say, let's go with you because we heard that God is with you. Ah! Get the picture. No more mourning, no more fasting. God has great vision for us. It's going to be awesome. But I'm not done. Because we're just going to read a few other verses just for fun. The sermon's practically over, but we're going to just read a few more passages just because I thought we have to do another sermon from Zechariah. And I don't want to do another sermon from Zechariah. So we're just going to read a few more verses here. Zechariah 12, 10 through 14. And these are visions of the Messiah and visions of the kingdom of God. And I will pour out on the house of David, Zechariah 12, verse 10, and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced. You know, a lot of people, like our Muslim friends, and even some people who call themselves Christians, say Jesus was not really God. All right, who's speaking in this prophecy? This is the Lord God speaking. And he says, they will look on me. God says, they will look on me. We pierced God. We crucified God. We spat upon God. And we murdered God. That's what we did. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. Who might he be possibly talking about? Who do you think? On that day, the weeping in Jerusalem will be as great as in the weeping at Hadad Rimmon in the plains of Megiddo. The land will mourn, each clan by itself with their wives, by themselves, the clan of the house of David and the wives, the clans of the house of Nathan and their wives, the clan of the house of Levi and their wives, and the clan of Shimei and their wives, and all the rest of the clans and their wives. By the way, this reference to Hadad Rimmon in the plains of Megiddo, that's where Josiah died. Josiah, you might think that David was the greatest king in the history of Israel, but I'm telling you, David messed up like super awesome bad, right? He was the man after God's own heart. The greatest king in the history of Israel was Josiah. He was killed in the plains of Megiddo, and people were mourning. They were mourning over the one who was pierced. And we'll do that. When Jesus dies and his apostles abandon him, it's going to be a time of great mourning. But, let's read on. On that day, that's the title of our sermon. See, I took the title of our sermon from the part that's after the sermon supposedly over, all right? On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. On what day? On the day that man was pierced. On the day that Jesus was pierced. On the day that we beheld the man who we had killed. On that day of mourning will also be a day of great rejoicing. This should be our Lord's Supper talk, huh? This is kind of what's going on here. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. On that day, I will banish the names of the idols from the land. They will be remembered no more, declares the Lord. I will remove both the prophets and even the spirit of impurity from the land. And if anyone still prophesies, their father and mother to whom they were born will say to them, you must die because you've told lies in the name of the Lord. To their own parents will stab the one who prophesies. Chris and I went to one of these sort of, you know, praise the Lord, hallelujah, fall on the floor, and this guy was prophesying, and he was saying, I prophesy this for you next week, this for you next week. The dude should have read Zechariah 13, you know. I don't think we should be claiming that we have new revelation, because we don't have new revelation. The revelation's finished, it's the Bible, that's good enough for me. On that day, every prophet will be ashamed of their prophetic vision. This guy wasn't, but I'm sure he loves God. Amen. They will not put on a prophet's garment of hair in order to deceive. Each will say, I'm not a prophet. I'm a farmer. And the land has been my livelihood since my youth. Someone asked, what are these wounds on your body? I said, the wounds I was given, they'll basically lie and cover up for what's going on there. All right, well, what's the deal here? Folks, the fountain is open. The waters of baptism for some of you are waiting. Some of you, the waters of baptism, they're waiting. Remember that day yourself? Remember the day that you're baptized into Christ? Remember the day the fountain was opened? The Holy Spirit came in, a spring that wells up to eternal life. Then there's Zechariah 14. Now, I'm just going to read it. I'll probably make a few comments. I want us to get the picture of that day. How am I doing? Have I been going for more than 40 minutes? If I have, I'll just say that's good enough. 35 minutes! So I can read Zechariah 14. All right, good. I was reading about this guy, Billy Sunday, this great preacher, and one of the comments was, if they asked him to go for half an hour, he'd go for an hour. And they said he was selfish and prideful and arrogant because he always went longer than... All right. So I was reading that. I thought, do I go too long? I don't know. Anyway, here we go. A day of the Lord is coming, Jerusalem, when your possessions will be plundered and divided up within your walls. Now think Matthew 24. Think Jesus describing, you know that thing where he says the armies are going to come and surround the city? And we studied Matthew 24 and also Luke, I think it was 21, about end times. It's the day of the Lord. This is a prophecy about the day of the Lord. Now, with these day of the Lord prophecies, they get a little confusing because it might be the day the Lord comes in this or that, the other thing. So this is a prophecy, one, about God coming in 70 AD, destroying the city, kind of sending the Jews off because they refused to accept Jesus. And in Matthew 24, that's the first about 14 or 15 verses. Then if you keep reading in Matthew 24, then it talks about when Jesus comes back at the end. So as we read this, he's going to talk a little bit about the day of the Lord, which is when God comes and judges his enemies. Then he's going to talk about the day of the Lord when he comes back to save those who've been kind of with him. What is the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord is the moment when Jehovah grasps the reins which seem to have been held slackly before. When the currents of his moral rule, which have been running sluggishly, receive a mysterious quickening, and the Lord's work on the earth is at last fully performed. The day of the Lord is the day that God's kingdom comes with power. That certainly was on the day of Pentecost. That certainly was in 70 AD when Jerusalem was destroyed. But the greatest day of the Lord of all will be when Jesus comes back to roll up the scroll, and we'll be with him forever. So the first seven verses will be about that first judgment. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, the women raped. Half the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. The Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights on a day of battle. On that day, his feet will be on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half the mountain moving north and half moving south. You will flee by my mountain valley. And Jesus says, when you see the army surrounding Jerusalem, run into the hills. And that's exactly what the church did. The church fled. And as far as we know, no Christian was killed at the destruction of Jerusalem. And the church fled to the city of Pella. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and the holy ones with him. On that day, there will be neither sunlight nor cold, frosty darkness. It'll be a unique day, a day known only to the Lord, with no distinction between day and night. When evening comes, there will be light. Apocalyptic. Basically, this is describing when I come to judge Jerusalem because they rejected me as king. But then, starting in verse 8, we're going to start to kind of look towards the future, the coming of Jesus. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half of it to the east to the Dead Sea, half of it to the west in the Mediterranean. Read Ezekiel 48. Read Revelation 21. To the sea in the summer and in the winter, the Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord and his name, the only name.
The whole land from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, will become like the Arabah, which is, that's a good thing, by the way. That means lush and green. But Jerusalem will be raised up high from the Benjamin gate to the side of the first gate to the corner gate. From the tower of Hananel to the royal winepress will remain in its place. It will be inhabited. Never again will it be destroyed on that day. But on that day, this is the plague with which the Lord will strike all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they're standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets. Their tongues will rot in their mouths. On that day, people will be stricken by the Lord with great panic. They will seize each other. By the way, you do not want to be in this group. All right, that's why you ought to come to the fountain, like, right away. Study that Bible. Get baptized. Amen? Either you already are. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you're good. Then this stuff doesn't apply to you. Whew. They will seize each other by the hand and attack one another. Verse 14, Judah will fight at Jerusalem. The wealth of all the surrounding nations will be collected. Great quantities of gold and silver and clothing. A similar plague will strike the horses and the mules, the camels, the donkeys, and all the animals in their camps. God's going to judge his enemies. Verse 16, then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty. And this is about heaven on that day to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. If any of the peoples of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, they will have no rain. If the Egyptian people do not go up and take part, they will have no rain. The Lord will bring on them the plague he inflicts on the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles. But on that day, what day? On the day of the Lord, holy to the Lord will be inscribed on the bells of the horses and on the cooking pots. And the Lord's house will be like the sacred bowls in front of the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord. And all who come to sacrifice will take some of the pots and cook in them. And on that day, there will no longer be a merchant in the house of the Lord Almighty. Those who decided not to attend this Feast of Tabernacles. And what is the Feast of Tabernacles? It's the celebration of living in the presence of God. That tabernacle in the wilderness. Says, those who choose not to come to that party, they'll be shut out for eternity. On that day, for those of us who are with God, we will be with him in that city for eternity. No more merchants, no more people selling religion. So, should I mourn and fast? Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know. Depends on where you're at right now. Don't know. But one thing I know is we need to celebrate because the fountain has been opened. When God calls, let's listen. Otherwise, when we call, he won't listen. Let's listen to the day of the Lord, to the Lord. Let's let our hands be strong. Let's start building. I really believe that the nations are going to come. And you're going to have 10 visitors. Have you ever had 10 visitors at church? I have a couple of times. Just a couple of times, but it's amazing when it happens. On that day, the Lord will be celebrating an eternal Feast of Tabernacles with God. So maybe a fast is appropriate, maybe not. But I don't know. Let's just come together and listen to God. Let us repent. Return. And God will restore, and God will rebuild. Thanks.
Please join us as we sing.